You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a warm welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris here, joined by Mick Norton, to go through the cards at Wolverhampton, Catterick and Plumpton. And you'll hear every race live, of course, in the Racing Radio studio in the company of Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and John Budden on Monday afternoon. We'll also be taking a look back to the best of Saturday's action. But first of all, let me introduce the man opposite me today. Good afternoon, Mick.
Yes, good afternoon, Sam. Good afternoon.
How are you today? You well?
Yes, good, thank you.
Good stuff. Saturday's action we'll come on to in a second, Mick. But first things first, it was rather overshadowed, the day's racing, by some particularly disappointing field sizes.
Especially at Warwick, wasn't it? Usually Warwick, one of Warwick's major Saturdays of the year, TV coverage, etc. But whether the big card at Newry, trainers reluctant, well, the, probably the top jockeys there, reluctant to enter the horse, but you know, it ended up with some really good prize money at Warwick going begging, didn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely did. Is there anything the game could be doing to address this issue, Mick? Do we maybe need to dial back the racing in January, February?
Yeah, maybe have that Warwick today.
Yeah,
rather than clash with Newbury. You know, they can do something. It's not just, I know they like their Saturdays, but we've seen time and time again that if they put the right racing on, the crowds will go. It works in Ireland, and why can't it work here? It just seems a ridiculous class. Probably their biggest, one of their biggest prize money days of the year, and basically it was second division stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and even at Newbury, with the exception of the big race of the day, which of course attracted a maximum field. I mean, I haven't seen a Demon Chase that week for a while.
Yeah, it was pretty ordinary, wasn't it? I mean, to be fair to Hublon des Oboes, we know he can put up a good performance on his day, but it hadn't looked much like it so far this year, had he?
Well, you could say that about the whole field,
exactly.
Couldn't you? They were all good on their day, but
giant bolster, you know. I mean,
few and far between they had their day.
Rocky
now.
Creek sent off favourite, as if it was, never mind find the winner, find a favourite. You couldn't price it up, could you? It was just a desperate race for the money.
Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing. We saw the game spirit as well, the seasonal reappearance of last year's Champion Chase winner Dodging Bullets, beaten by Top Gamble. I mean, I know a lot of people will say that last year's Champion Chase wasn't a vintage renewal, but there'd be quite a few people expecting Dodging Bullets to get off to a winning start this season.
Yeah, I think what they've done is get that comeback run out of the way, and we do know Dodging Bullets is a festival horse. He's run really well at the festival prior to winning the Champion Chase, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So he certainly didn't look like a Champion Chase winner on Saturday, but with that out of the way and back to the festival with that under his belt, it wasn't so much a fitness thing. I think it was just getting him back, getting his competitive juices flowing again. And he'll know he's back at the festival. And he'll give it a go in a race. The festival race has got more questions than answers. Got an odds-on favourite in the race, which is an absolute, well, you can take it or leave it, but you know they're all going to go there with question marks hanging over them. Sprinter Sacra, the whole lot of them, aren't they? And why shouldn't Dodging Bullets line up with them with his little question mark hanging over his little head? So
yeah,
take your pick.
Yeah, sure. And a word on the winner as well. Top Gamble for Kerry Lee. What a fantastic start she's made to the training.
Absolutely, career. Yeah. It's just seamless, isn't it? Taking over from Father Richard, who I'm sure there with his portions and his bits and pieces in the background, keeping the show going. And she's taken it to a different level just lately, hasn't she? Kerry, the highlights, of course, the Welsh National, but she's been winning big Saturday races ever since. And it was great to see Top Gamble winning his best race so far. He loves the ground. I think they're thinking more of the Punchestown Festival rather than Cheltenham, but they may just think if something happens to one or two of the big names, why wouldn't you? Can you supplement for the Queen Mother? I'm not sure.
Possibly.
I don't know. Anyway,
I don't see why not.
It's not on the agenda at the moment, but you know, anything happens here, let's say anything happened to Underskirt,
blows the race wide open.
You would say, well, he's eight. He goes on good ground. He goes on heavy ground. They might be tempted. Who knows? Who knows?
Absolutely.
If it was mine, I'd keep my options open.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. The big race of the day then comes in the shape of the Betfair Hurdle on Saturday, won by Agrapart for Nick Williams and Lizzie Kelly. Obviously, she became the first lady rider to ride a Grade 1 winner in Britain Island back in December. And another nice pot that she secured here.
I couldn't believe the betting in this race. The way they piled into Blazer was just quite extraordinary, I thought. And
was that all on the back of Barry Geraghty's pick, Mick?
Yeah, but don't forget, Barry made a bad pick in the big handicap hurdle in Ireland a few weeks ago, didn't he? He got on the wrong one in that. And, you know, it's not unheard of. And he was £8 higher than his new Irish mark. No, his old Irish mark that he won off. Yeah. His new Irish mark. So I just was a bizarre favourite in a race as open as that. And I thought Agrapar was an absolute blot on the handicap on his Tolworth form. If you take that literally, then why shouldn't you take it literally? And, Lizzie had no qualms. She got a nice toe into the race, and it was very difficult to for anything from the back to get to grips with the front two, wasn't it?
Yeah, certainly was. And she's proved again she's the girl for the big day, isn't she?
Certainly is. She's got a very cool head on her and very good value for her £5 allowance. The way she thinks through her races, I'm surprised more people don't use her, but there you are. The penny might drop one of these days. I thought it was a really good race. Flying Angel is the good yardstick for the form of the race. And, but look at the way it's 10-5, 10-8, 10-1, 10-5. Difficult to carry big weights, which, you know, it was a strong race in desperate conditions. And I think he had to be handy. It was almost reminiscent of Hill House's winning the race. The way he stormed clear of the field, Agrapar. Yeah, great performance.
Yes.
He's only five as well, isn't he? French bred.
Yeah, could be more to come.
Definitely.
Just one more horse to mention then from Saturday, and that was another disappointing favourite. Lammy Surge beaten at odds of 1-5. Simon Mounir's racing managers all but ruled out the Arkle now. Beaten by last year's winner of the Betfair Hurdle, Violet Dancer, who's no mug, but
he's halved in price, hasn't he, for the Arkle himself, Violet Dancer. He just doesn't look a natural of offences, Lammy Surge, does he?
Yeah, that's right.
His technique leaves a lot to be desired, and I think they very wisely pulled the plug on the Arkle.
Could he revert back to hurdles now?
It's got to do something. I don't think 2 miles of offences is his thing. Whether they step him up in trip, give him a bit more time to get into a rhythm, because it's all happening a bit quick for him by the look of his technique. I don't know. I think they'll go home and have a think of that. Jumping badly to the left, wasn't he? And just like a horse whose confidence was shot. But anyway, run over hurdles won't do him any harm anyway. He's got high class ability, hasn't he?
Yeah, no
doubt about that. And the last thing they'll want to do is destroy his confidence totally. We've seen it happen before with could hurdlers. And, they might just bite the bullet and go back hurdling.
Indeed. That wraps up the action then on Saturday. And we'll be hearing mixed thoughts on the back of this regarding four races on Monday.
This is William Hill Racing Radio.
Monday's racing now, then we start with two from Catterick, then we've got one from Plumpton to take in and one on the all-weather from Wolverhampton, but it's the 2:40 at Catterick that's our first port of call. A handicap hurdle here over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. A Class 4 event with 11 runners lining up to take this one. Who caught the eye?
Yeah, it should be, well, there's a skeleton horse in it, so we'll probably have a shorty, won't we? They do love getting stuck into them, don't they? The horse I'm referring to is Air Glider, who comes back after a 211 break. This is his handicap debut, a bit of an unknown quantity, although on the limited evidence we've got under rules, his mark of 111 isn't generous. He's got no great record fresh either in the point-to-point field. So I think he'll have to have improved considerably in that since we last saw him, which there is every likelihood of that. And another thing to add is that this will not take much winning, but the market will probably tell us a story regarding him, although with it being a skeleton horse, it'll probably get punted off the boards. Not for me, Air Glider, but he can win if he wants.
Okay, passing Air Glider over then. Who are you in favour of?
Well, I tell you what, Sailor's War wants a second look. His last two runs have been quite respectable. He's only about a handful of runs since he joined Ron Thompson from his old trainer, Edward O'Grady. And the last two have been quite respectable runs off this mark in this grade. And don't forget, on his days with Edward O'Grady, he paid two visits to the Cheltenham Festival. In 2011, he finished 6th of 23 behind Zarkander in the Triumph. And in 2012, he finished 3rd behind Alderwood off 143, narrowly beaten the county hurdle. And he's in this, which is take no winning, off 115. So he's got to go on the shortlist on the back of that. And those two runs last time have definitely been a step back in the right direction. But I'm going to go each way with Benny Secret, who was in the process of hitting the frame, I thought, last time at Kelso. Plugging on okay. Was a bit of a tired fall at the last, but conditions were quite testing that day. And he does look, so he's got a little race in him off 105. And Nick Alexander's horses are in quite good nick. I'm not totally convinced, but I was just looking for a bit of value in a horrible race, and Benny Secret might provide that. It should be a double figure prize.
Okay, Benny Secret then for Nick and Lucy Alexander, getting the vote for Mick in the 240. We stay at Catterick for the next race on today's podcast. This is the 410, a handicap chase here over 3 miles and a furlong. We've got 10 runners to this class three, and this one a bit of a warmer race, Mick.
It certainly is. It's a good race, isn't it? We've got sort of three fairly useful novices taking on more experienced opposition. Warrantor heads the weights. Warren Greatrix trains, son Tom rides. Often highly tried, this horse. He won his bumper, he won his maiden and a novice's hurdle under a penalty. And then he won second time up over fences after taking on Patton Company, I think it was, on his chasing debut. What was that all about? I'm no idea, but it was better next time over fences. The claim will help, but for me, he doesn't look a £2 better horse than another hero who represents Richard Johnson and John Joe O'Neill. He was a winning bumper and novice hurdle horse, and already has bettered his hurdle racing ability in two starts over fences. And this way round, the way he's been jumping to the left on those right-handed tracks is definitely going to suit him. And although he's taken on more experienced opponents, he's very, very much respected. Horse who does know how to win, and he's got the full set now. Bumper, hurdle and chase. And a nice prospect, I think, Storm, another hero. And the other two make the shortlist are Stradna Hannah, represents Sue Smith, Danny Cook. One is novice over fences here over this course and distance, which is quite encouraging. And he's back to his last winning mark as well. He's been out of sorts since that Haydock 4 when he came there looking the winner, came to win it. I think it was a long way from home, but he was going well and he fell horribly. He just sort of did the splits and the whole works. And he's been a bit under par in two runs since. Now, hopefully they've sorted his confidence out and he could well bounce back at a nice price at his lucky track, his winning track. And I think they're going to be all over the top two in the race card. Another hero, Warrantor. I think Stradna Hannah could be a nice each-way shape in this. It's got a nice look about it with his experience. I mean, you look at that run before Haydock at Kelso on his seasonal reappearance. I mean, a reproduction of that. And off this mark, he'd beat these, whether they're useful novices or not. And the other novice is looking well, who was a good second to a decent horse here last time. He's out of novice company, though, here. Lacks a bit of experience, so his jumping will have to be spot on. But he does look as though he's got races in him, and his mark doesn't look too bad of 1, 2, 3. But, yeah, it's a good little contest, this, but I'm going to go with Stradna Hannah each way, hoping he's got his confidence back.
Okay, Stratton and Hannah then for Mick, for Sue Smith and Danny Cook in the 4.10. Catterick will go over to Plumpton now for their 3 o'clock. This is a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. The dead 8 runners line up at the time of recording. Hopefully they all stand their ground. What are you liking this one, Mick?
I like the top one, the mare, Cannon Fodder. She's been an absolute model of consistency since October of last year. And, well, she ran an absolute stormer at Ascot last time behind Vroom Vroom Mag, and I was thinking, oh no, what's that going to do to a handicap mark? Because she'd sort of gone up a bit for that Kempton win. But the handicapper actually gave her a pound back. Mm. So that was a bit of a bonus for Sheena West. I thought they'd sort of maybe blown the handicap mark running so well in that Ascot contest. And she should beat these if she's in the same mood as she was on the last 2 days anyway. The dangers, hard to even find one. First Avenue, he's not getting any younger, but he's £2 lower than finishing that remote second to Gervais Chambertin at Lingfield last time in almost unraceable conditions. Form's not good enough, but at least he will handle the likely conditions he's going to encounter at Plumpton. And the other one is the mare Fountain Blossom, would just rate a bit more of a danger. She was no match for the improving Iron Butterfly at Doncaster last time and went up 2 for it. But a player here with Dave Noonan back on board, taking off his 5. He was second on a penultimate start with Noonan on board, and he gets back on. Fountain Blossom's the danger to Cannon Fodder, but she'll be very hard to beat.
Okay, it's the mare Cannon Fodder then getting the vote there in the 3 o'clock. We'll take in one now from the all-weather at Wolverhampton. This is their 4.20. A handicap over a mile and a furlong here. It's a Class 2 with 7 runners down to contest it. Anything jumping off the page here, Mick?
Yeah, I think they're going to be all over Dance of Fire here, aren't they? So, being a perverse sort of person, I'm sort of immediately look for something to take him on. So I'm going to take him on with Razor Wind, who is coming back from a 296-day break. But that is no problem with this horse. He's got a really good record fresh. If they've got him wound up, which I'm sure they will have. He's 1 from 1 on the Tapida over this distance at Wolverhampton. And his mark improved £10 in the last 12 months. And if he's sort of improved a bit again for his absence, he's going to be a handful. I respect Dance of Fire. Obviously, he's got the 6-pound penalty for winning that Chelmsford race 4 days ago. Had the run of the race, didn't have to even improve on his mark to win it. Makes his Tapita debut, but did find marks in the high 80s beyond him on the turf, and he's up against a class act here in Razor Wind. And Whispering Warrior may turn out to be the biggest danger. He was never involved in the tactical affair last time. He was 6-7 behind a Dance of Fire, but he was just never in the race. It was stop, start, Dance of Fire made every yard, dictated it from the front. He was always out the back, never got into it. I think it'd be a different story here. I don't think he'll fall for that again. He'd been in good form prior to that. Nothing in hand of the handicapper, though. Handicapper knows exactly where he's got to Whispering Warrior, whereas Razor Wind may well turn out to be better than his mark of 100. So I'm fairly confident that Razor Wind will take some beating in this.
Razor Wind, the selection for Charlie Appleby, Adam Kirby and the boys in blue. Just remind us, please, then one more time, Mick, your 4 selections for Monday.
Right, the Catterick 2 in the 2.40, Benny's Secret, and Stradna Hannah in the 4.10. And at Plumpton, Cannon Fodder to defy joint top weight in that Plumpton 3 o'clock. And at Wolverhampton, our only flat race in the 4, I expect Razor Wind to make a seasonal winning reappearance in the 4.20.
Thanks very much, Mick, and enjoy the action on Monday.
Will do.
Remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio on Monday afternoon. We've got all the action covered from Plumpton, Catterick and from Wolverhampton with Sean Quinn, Craig Forsyth and John Budden in the studio from 1:40 p.m. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.